for which you should be grateful. In this third Sunday of Advent, it's an opportunity to think a little bit about how we read the Bible and to think about what our purpose is as we approach the birth of Jesus. Let me ask you a little question here. In the Christmas story, we celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus. Well trained, yes. Notice nobody said John. There are two baby boys mentioned in the birth narrative. John the Baptist was the other. We never talk about him. He is very much a saint, a high-ranking saint in the Roman Catholic Church. I presume they talk about him in Baptist churches, but I would think, yeah. But let's look at this. Excuse me. The birth narrative of Jesus takes place in only two of the Gospels, two of the four Gospels, Matthew and Luke. And in Luke, there are two chapters that talk about the birth of Jesus. I went back and was counting up, and there are almost as many verses talking about the birth of John as there are about the birth of Jesus in there. But we kind of read what we, you know, plan to read or expect to see. And I think sometimes we miss parts of the Bible because we know what we're expecting to read. And let me illustrate for you that, and also a little problem we have. I think it's a problem. A few centuries ago, an English cleric thought it would be helpful to divide the scriptures up into chapters and verses because they're not there in the originals, but he thought it would be helpful. And sometimes it's a rather arbitrary division. Let me illustrate by reading from the Gospel of Luke, very familiar passage, 1st chapter, 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Does this sound familiar? Yes. Now, if I ever bothered to think about in the sixth month, I got to thinking, six months, January, February, March, April, May, June. Must have been June. And then I think, being, you know, well-educated, I think, wait a minute. The Jewish calendar is different from our calendar, so their New Year's at a different time, so it wouldn't have been June. It would have been 6 months after the start of their calendar, right? Okay. Let's go back and start the book of Luke. In the fifth chapter, in the days of King Herod, this is a descendant of the King Herod that tried to kill. Well, no, this is the King Herod that tried to. Rewind. I'm still calling 911, Aaron. No, I'm confusing myself here. King Herod is the king who tried to kill the baby Jesus. It's his descendant who does kill Jesus. Okay. All right. We have a priest named Zechariah, and his wife is named Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and both were getting on in years. It's always in the Bible, it's always the woman's fault. That was the understanding of the biology. That was the understanding of the biology, and if God had not blessed the woman, she would not have a child, and so to have no children was kind of like you're not really favored by God. It was very sad. Once while he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot according to the customs of priesthood to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. And everybody waited outside the temple. Then there appeared to him. It doesn't usually happen in church, but once in a while, God shows up and always seems to surprise people. There appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." Now, how many of you, in unpacking your Christmas goodies to put all over your house, pulled out a sweet little angel? Blonde hair, white skirt, just sweet little angel. You know, you paint them on plates, and just all these sweet, beautiful angels. What's to be afraid of? You see, in the Bible, if you ever encounter an angel, it's not, "Oh, how sweet, let's put it on the Christmas tree." It's, "My God, it's an angel!" And so the first thing every angel has to practice saying before they come to earth is, "Don't be afraid. Don't be scared." You know, how we got angels into cute little blonde, I don't know. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will become a Nazarite, which means he will never drink wine or strong drink. He will be dedicated to the..." It also meant he was never to cut his hair. There were a number of specific ways that one became a prophetic person, a Nazarite. "Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah says to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I'm an old man, and my wife..." Have you seen her? But my wife is getting on in years, is the translation here, but you get the idea. And the angel says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and bring you good news, and you don't believe me. You don't trust me. I'll show you. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." And Zechariah says... Meanwhile, the people are waiting outside. The service is taking forever. You know, they're waiting to get to the buffet, you know, and service is going on and on. And Zechariah comes out, and he comes out to him, and he says... And they realize... He's seen a vision. "After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion." So it doesn't go into detail about that, but evidently Zechariah and Elizabeth went home and had a conversation. Did you see it? Did you miss it? "For 5 months, she remained in seclusion. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to Mary." Ah! I'd never noticed that before myself. It's not talking about the calendar. It's talking about how far along in her pregnancy Elizabeth was carrying John. That's how closely connected John and Jesus are. And that's how we are a little sloppy about the way we read the Bible sometimes. They're intimately connected here. Jesus is the cousin of John. The photograph on the cover of your bulletin is one that I took in 2006. As you know, many years I take study groups to the Holy Land. I took one back in October. I'll be taking group next May. In 2006, I was in the village of Ein Karen, which is the traditional home of John the Baptist. And the statue is a representation of Mary meeting Elizabeth. Elizabeth being several months pregnant, Mary having just been informed in the Annunciation that she will become the mother of Jesus. That's the statue shown on the altar as well. John is an important man. God has singled him out before he's even conceived to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the way for Jesus. When they grow up, John goes out into the wilderness and calls people to repent, which means to rethink. Repent. Rethink their lives and their priorities and where they're going and what they're doing with their lives. Repent. The kingdom of God is near. Repent. Reexamine your life, your priorities, your behavior, your ultimate values. And people come from all over to hear John. He is a stickler for doing the right thing. And one day, as he's baptizing, Jesus appears and asks John to baptize him. Now, only two Gospels have the Christmas story in them. But all four Gospels have the baptism of Jesus by John in them as the central beginning point of the gospel of Jesus. That's where it really begins, is in the baptism when John recognizes Jesus and baptizes him. And it's then that the Spirit of God rests upon Jesus. You are my son, in whom I'm well pleased. John continues his ministry and evidently has a powerful following of disciples. In fact, some of the disciples of Jesus are drawn from those who are disciples of John. John incurs many enemies, among them Herod, the descendant of the King Herod that tried to kill Jesus. And one of the reasons that Herod's mad at him is that John is publicly pointing out that Herod stole Herod's brother's wife and took her for himself. Hey, you know, just keep it in the family. It's all right. But John said, this is wrong. This is wrong. And so John threw him in prison. And then you all know the story. One of the Bible stories everybody knows is the story of, you know, Herod's wife's daughter dancing the dance of the seven veils or whatever it is. I keep trying to get our good news dancers to do that. But anyway, and Herod has John beheaded. While John is languishing in prison, he wonders, did I get it right? Was Jesus really the one? 2 points to make here. The first is this. The whole purpose of John's life is to prepare the way for Jesus. He knows what he's to do. He is to prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way for the one who comes in the name of God, the one who will bring the people to know that God is with them. And I ask you this Advent, what is your calling? Is it not also, like John, to prepare the way of the Lord, to model for people unconditional love, to model for them that God loves you so much that God would come and live with you? I love you enough that I put up with you. Sometimes the highest act of love is to not strangle somebody, you know, always to want what's best for them. To whom are you called to witness? Now, the gentleman this morning that we had to call the police on, really wanted to witness to the end of the world. But maybe that's not the way we're called to do it. Instead, I think we're called to prepare the way of the Lord by working for peace, working for justice, working to appreciate both the police that we call this morning and black men who are all too convinced that they're the targets of police. How can we bring justice and peace and understanding among people? Is that not preparing the way for God's Messiah? What can we do at Christmas besides getting a tie with reindeer on it that will prepare the way for God's coming again into our lives? John was called. John was born for this purpose, and you were born with purpose and with meaning to do for others, to prepare the way for others, to help them start to believe that somebody loves them, that somebody cares about them, to lay the groundwork, to set the conditions in which they can accept God's love. Don't beat them over the head with it, but bandage their wounds with it. And the second point is this. As John is in prison, as he's going to die soon in prison, he wonders. He's been so sure all his life. He knows what his calling is, but you know, you've got to have doubts. You can't be so certain all through life. There are times you question, you doubt. And so he sends his disciples to Jesus and said, "Are you the one for whom we're waiting? Or must we continue to wait for someone else? Have I been back on the right horse? Did I get it right? Have I prepared for your coming? Or, cousin Jesus, was that wishful thinking? Are you the Messiah? Are you God with us, Emmanuel? Did I get it right? I'm going to die soon. I want to know, did I get it right? Have I wasted my life?" And Jesus says to the disciples of John, and Jesus, seeing what has happened to John, must be able to see what's going to happen to him, says, "Go back to John and tell John that the lame walk, the blind see, the mute speak. Remember your dad, John. And good news is preached to the poor." That will be his answer. So there were two baby boys that we celebrate in the Christmas season. We remember Jesus. But don't forget John. Call to prepare the way. And wanting to be sure, are you the one? And Jesus says, if you see people healed, if you see good being done, you're on the right path. Trust me on this. Cousin John. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn.